Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash and rock to smithereens.
No, not this rock. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, or on twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, or you party animals on YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Party on, party animals. You sickos on the YouTube chat. How y'all doing? All right. The Dallas Cowboys job is open. And this may be the worst sign of how bad the state of the Cowboys is. Last night, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, Troy Aikman.
Jay-Z lookalike.
Boy, that picture really does.
Oh, boy. one of my favorite bits in TV history is them acknowledging its existence.
Yeah. And he's like, well, yeah. It kind of does. I was surprised by it too.
You know? Instead of like not acknowledging it at all, he's like, yeah.
I mean, not much I can really tell you except for I kind of do.
Yeah, it does.
He now owns a beer company. Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman went on Monday Night Countdown last night prior to the wild card game between the Rams and the Vikings. And he was asked about this Cowboys job. And this is a long clip, but I think it's worth it. When you have one of your all-time greats saying this about your head coaching position now open.
This job's as coveted as any because you're going to run the Dallas Cowboys. In what direction do you think they ought to look?
Well, I thought Mike McCarthy would be the head coach, so this is a bit of a surprise for me today that he's not going to be. And what went into those conversations that Schefter talked about, I'm not exactly sure, but it suggests that there's not a real plan. I mean, and the fact that they haven't had the opportunity to maybe interview a Ben Johnson and some of these others, Aaron Glenn, I think that what Schefter said as far as Kellen Moore being a candidate, that seems logical to me. A guy who has familiarity with the building. He's worked, obviously, with the Cowboys and with Jerry Jones, and they know each other very well. In fact, when Mike McCarthy got the job, it was told to Mike that Kellen Moore would be the offensive coordinator. So that's how much the Jones family thinks of him. Beyond that, it's hard to imagine. As far as a coveted job, I don't know that that's accurate. I mean, really? I do think the Cowboys are obviously a high-profile team. Whoever is head coach of that team is certainly going to draw a lot of attention. But I think most football people that take over as a head coach, they want to do it on their terms.
That's fair.
That's hard to do. And it's, you know, if you take a Dan Campbell, for instance, is Dan Campbell Dan Campbell if he's with the Dallas Cowboys? It's hard to imagine that he is. It's hard to imagine that a lot of these coaches might be. So You know, I love the Dallas Cowboys. I played there for 12 years. I wish them well. But to say that it's a coveted job, I'm not sure I would necessarily agree with that.
Yikes. Drops it twice in that I'm not sure it's a coveted job because of the way that everything is unfolded. And you think about this. Look at the way they've handled this. We talked about this yesterday. They went down one of two paths that don't make the Cowboys look good at all. Either they wanted to keep Mike McCarthy and they couldn't keep Mike McCarthy, or they blocked Mike McCarthy from interviewing for the Bears job, knowing that they didn't want him, and missed out on the opportunity to interview guys like Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn, or if you wanted Matt Nagy or Steve Spagnuolo, the coordinators that had a bye. You missed that opportunity to even interview those guys. So now you're in a spot where you're in no man's land. And then on top of it, you have guys like some of your legends saying, I don't know if this is a coveted job anymore.
No, we've documented over the last 5 years the organizational decisions they've made that have made absolutely no sense. Whether it was paying Zeke or paying Dak or paying CeeDee, like, you just go down the list, guys who they paid versus who they didn't, choices that they made over choices they didn't, when it was very clear which way they should go. And they didn't go that way. You're just sitting there going, oh, no, they're going to keep doing the stupid thing. And now you've got an organization where Jerry Jones is, I mean, is he the most meddlesome owner in sports now? He has to be.
I mean, that list can be very, very long.
It can, he's but one of them. He doesn't have them. Like, his meddlesome ways, previously, the most destructive thing it did was stop a dynasty.
Yeah.
And forced Jimmy Johnson out. But it's not like you didn't get something out of it.
I think that's a pretty big one.
But again, it's not like you didn't get something out of it,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So beyond that, it was like, you know, that's Jerry. That's Jarrah, you know?
Ah, there he is. Cheeky fun.
But their relevancy has ceased to exist for 30 years outside of branding.
Yeah. And just being America's team.
Yes.
Like that's been it. Is that everybody's been told, this is America's team. And people have been forced to believe it.
Because they were good when network TV spiked.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
Well, and the Steelers didn't want to be America's team. I think people forget that.
Yeah. They wanted to go the other way.
They wanted to be...
The villain.
Well, no, they just didn't want... They didn't want to be labeled as America's team. So Cowboys were like, yeah, we'll take it.
We'll take it.
And that's how it... That's how it happened.
That's the branding behind it.
That's how it happened.
So not only do you have Jerry, who is... old and probably not going to be around forever, but you've got his kids who have been in the same meddling ways and who have reinforced and backed these same decisions. But you don't have
stopped him from drafting Johnny Manziel, at least.
Yeah, there you go. That's fair. But you go down the list of things that not only they've gotten wrong, but now that you have to pay for those sins financially. Yeah. Roster-wise, the things that you are now limited upon doing by signing Dak and signing Zeke and signing like, you just kind of go down the list and you're just like, I mean, does the Diggs deal look any better now? I mean, it's like...
Well, now, I think what's even more concerning, the Dak contract, and we went over this yesterday, I think you're $89 million committed to him against the cap next year, and then I think it's like 68 and then 61. Like... Yeah, good luck. And then now the buzz is that Deion is one of the leading candidates for that job. Then you're going to have to get out of the Dak contract, which, is, by the way, is going to give you a bunch of dead cap because you're going to trade him, and there'll be dead cap. And then you have to trade up to go and get Shedeur Sanders because the Cowboys are at 12 right now. And
if you're Deion, you can't tell enough teams. You can't tell... five quarterback needy teams that he's not going to come play for you.
Watch him.
You think he can get it all into 12? Because I think they got to get it at least into like eighth.
Well, you know who the other guy is? And this is the most crazy thing when you hear the reasoning. Jason Witten.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Witten, because he was a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Jones feels like that he can Dan Campbell this. Because Dan Campbell was a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Well... why wouldn't Jason Witten be able to? Jason Witten's a high school football coach.
Mm-hmm. And a part-time broadcaster.
He's a high school football coach. Mm-hmm. Going to go from the sidelines of a private high school to the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm.
There's no pressure there. There's nothing to deal with there.
Dan Campbell, and like Campbell wasn't nearly the player that Witten was.
No.
But you know what he did? Worked his butt off as an assistant coach to work his way up to the position that he's in. And... Witten is just going to go and born on third. Think you hit a triple right there because Jerry Jones loves him. Like, I'm worried if I'm a Cowboys fan.
There's no way out here.
Kind of laughing.
Oh, no. It's, I mean, look, Dion is the funniest timeline.
Yeah.
It is the most it is the most unhinged and funny, obnoxious, over. Like, if you think ESPN is cranked up now, wait till that hiring happens.
Well, and you know what? Like, this is the most predictable thing of all time, though, because of the fact that Dion just said, I ain't going nowhere, right? Boop. You've been sniffing around a couple jobs because those have been widely reported. I think you might be going somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's so dumb, but it, like, and again, they went further on ESPN at halftime. They had Schefter on, you know, as SVP, and Kelsey and somebody else. And every single time they talked about the Dion potential, they were like, yeah, when he gets there. Yeah, when he gets there. Yeah, when he gets the job. I'm like, well, I mean, you know, if. You know, if. And well, it was like they were caveating after the fact, and it just felt like, is this done?
Well, that also makes sense, though, because it's like the train wreck of the Dallas Cowboys would totally do it. It makes too much sense.
Yes.
And I think Kelsey's like really hyping that up because he would love to see that as an Eagles guy.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? 100%. 100%. And like, I would love to know unfiltered what Troy Aikman thinks of Deion Sanders as the head coach. I would love to know.
Yeah.
As the Cowboys head coach.
I would. I'm here for it.
I would love to know what that looked like. When they do the pregame meetings between those two, I mean, come on. You wouldn't want to be in the room for that?
I would.
That'd be fun.
I would. All right. Well, there's your Cowboys update. Goodness gracious almighty. Hey, Blazers actually have a big one tonight. The Brooklyn Nets come to town. Didn't think I'd be saying this, but here we are. 13-25 versus 13-26 in Moda. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, the Fan.
Blazers, Nets, they get on the court of Moda Center tonight, a 7 o'clock tip. 13-26, the Brooklyn Nets record heading into Moda. 13-25, the Portland Trail Blazers record tonight. This is one of those games that it actually could have, some wide-ranging implications as the season goes on. When we look back in May, this could be a game where if the Blazers win, you go, oh, that's the one. Right? It's not beating the Nuggets.
No, it's the great suck off of 2025.
That's what I'm talking about.
We had one last year. We back, baby. We are revisiting the great suck off of 2024 and it is revived in 2025.
Well,
and that's a lot of what you're going to see here for Portland over the next 2.5 months.
Yeah.
Is a great win last night in the tankathon, as it were, as the Raptors beat the Golden State Warriors. That happened, 104-101.
Yikes.
And you're seeing a tightening, as it were, between the truly bad of the NBA. New Orleans at 8 wins. The Trailblazers at 13.
That's
5 games.
That is a big chasm, though, when you think of...
It is. But after that, Charlotte is at 8, Toronto at 9, Utah at 10, then Brooklyn and Portland at 13. 4 games. 4 games separate... 5 games separate the number 2 from number 7. 4 separates 4 from 7. So it's a little bit tighter than people think. And the ability to flip a switch, if there is something that this organization has done post-All-Star break for the last 2 years, it is be the worst team in basketball.
Okay.
Undoubtedly. Worst team in basketball.
All right.
So, now, will that happen tonight?
Well, I think it... I think tonight is going to be an important one for the Blazers, maybe not to win because of, you know, tiebreaker scenarios here, huh?
You're not wrong because they on this homestand, they've got Brooklyn, then they have the Clippers, then they have the Rockets, and then the Bulls, which that one's a little tougher to lose. But home game against Chicago, but then you go on the road against at Miami, at Orlando, and then at Charlotte. If you really want to, like, I mean, if you're talking like true sicko stuff, losing to Brooklyn and to Charlotte.
I am.
That's
I am talking True Sicko
now
stuff.
Now we're getting twisted.
And I need True Sicko stuff because this is what is going this is what it's gonna take if you want Cooper Flagg and his 42 points that he dropped the other night.
And they, oh my God, he looked incredible. But here's the thing. They go on that 3-game road trip, and I believe it's was it 8 at home? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 at home. 7 at home, and then they have another 3-game trip, and then you're at the All-Star break. Okay, that 7-game homestand features the Thunder, the Bucks, the Magic, Phoenix twice, the Pacers, and the Kings. And then they close out a 3-game road trip with Minnesota and Denver twice. They could absolutely pile losses. Pile. They could lose 10 games in a row very easily.
All right.
Very easily. Now, the only different thing is, though, they have two baseball series with Phoenix and Denver there. And those almost always go 1-1.
Yeah.
And no matter what the situation is, just you roll the dice, that's in what ends up happening. Best team, worst team, doesn't matter. It's
hopefully
just weird.
Phoenix has Jimmy Butler by then and things really start working out in their favor and they really start winning.
And if you missed that, Jimmy Butler and Pat Riley had a face-to-face, and I'm sure it was a very calm sit-down face-to-face conversation because that's how both those gentlemen operate.
Well, especially when Jimmy Butler is talking to small children who are pouring coffee and saying, I complimented you. This is what good leadership does. Mm. They compliment good work.
And then goes fourth wall break and stares into the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been nothing petty about this at all.
No.
Pat Riley has been on, you know, local radio saying, well, maybe I should just hang it up because I'm washed. Like, they're both handling this very well.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, again, Jimmy came out today, or it came out today that Jimmy and Pat had a nice little face-to-face, and Jimmy reiterated he wanted to be traded, which is interesting because I thought we were done with trade demands. Remember, you're not supposed to be allowed a trade demand. I wonder if that was submitted in the 10-page breach of contract.
Well, you're not supposed to make public trade demands, correct?
Well, yes, but I mean, this getting out is the same thing because that's the same thing that happened to Dame.
I wouldn't be surprised one bit if it was the Miami Heat leaking it to Shams just so they can put it in that 10-page brief and then say, that didn't come from us. It had to have come from 100%. Jimmy, knowing that Shams isn't going to say where he got it from.
No. So for those that don't know, Jimmy Butler was suspended for 7 games. It was a home game and then the 6-game road trip. And in order to, the thing that was filed under was conduct detrimental. And I brought up last week, I talked to a former executive in the league. Like, how does this work? Like, what is I wanted the nerd notes on like what happens. He goes, there's a paper trail. And if you don't think that every single thing has been documented over time so that they can use it if ever necessary. This is like some severance type stuff. Like, that's what this is. Like, we'll maybe talk about it with the NFL, with the George Pickens stuff that's now being dumped out today and the Deontay Johnson stuff that's out there now. Like, every single player, good, bad, or otherwise, there's a file kept on them.
Like, that's dossier?
There is. And in that, it's late to practice, or Zion, you know, late to practice a bunch of times. Missing the flight and then getting suspended. And the crazy thing about the Zion thing was, I don't know if you saw this, it kind of went unnoticed. They made Zion give a statement in the press release. Like, they made him go, have you seen the movie Hancock with Will Smith?
Yeah.
When he, like, I will be better. You demand better, I will be better. They made him basically do that.
Proof of life. I am not being held hostage. I am being treated very well. Here is a newspaper dated today.
But, I mean, it's like they embarrassed him. Because you don't get suspended for missing the team flight the first time, especially if you're the superstar.
Yeah.
Even if you're a head case. It's because he's missed it multiple times. And so with Jimmy, like, some of the stuff kind of leaked out. Like, yeah, he's been late to practice. He's been late to this. He's been disruptive about this. Like, and all of these things are all documented. And it was a 10-page filing, briefing, whatever you want to call it, that was sent to the league and sent to the NBAPA because the players' union is going to fight it because he was fined basically $2.5 million.
As they should.
And they will. And they'll probably get probably half of it back. That's how this stuff usually goes. But I am really, like, you know, the messaging when Miami was here in Portland over the weekend was that Jimmy will be back with the team soon. And they're going to resume. I'm just like, no, you're not. Yeah, that man is the most toxic. There is no one who has a switch to be more toxic than him.
No.
This is a guy that, like, I will bring this up at every opportunity, that took the back end of the Minnesota Timberwolves roster and dog walked Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins in front of everyone.
To prove a point.
Just to prove a point. Posted up Cat over and over and over again. Called him every soft-related thing in the world. Playing with a t-shirt on that was a Minnesota Timberwolves t-shirt where he cut the logo out of the middle of it just to further prove a point. Then sprinted off the court after giving him that work. Thinking that his teammates thought that he was coming back. But no, he went out the back door, hopped in his car, drove to another building, and did a sit-down interview with Rachel Nichols where he told everyone what he just did.
Which was awesome. Theater.
It was the most unhinged thing I've ever seen a player do. And it was amazing.
I mean, Latrell Sprewell.
Well, it's choking a coach is pretty high. But I mean, like, let he who has not put hands on another dude cast the first stone here. This was diabolical. This is psychological warfare.
Yeah, it was.
And that's what Jimmy specializes in. It's psychological warfare.
You're not wrong.
And if what's going to come out of this is insane. And like, going all back to Portland, Brooklyn. Brooklyn is, you know, they have sent off Dennis Schroeder because, one, Dennis Schroeder is a problem, and I don't mean it in a good way, but he can be a good basketball player. They're trying to tank, but they still have Cam Johnson. They got rid of, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith as well. Like, but they're still not at the level of, like, being one of the three worst teams in basketball.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. We talked about this going into the season. The Blazers were going to be one of the five worst teams in basketball, right there with Brooklyn. But they weren't going to be the worst. We all knew that Washington had that cornered. And then you're like, okay, after Washington, who is it going to be?
And they've been really good at being bad.
Oh, my God. What's funny is they are not getting the coverage that you would typically expect the team to be that bad because they splice in a win.
Just every now and then.
Just every now and then. They've won, I want to say it's like 4 out of their last 30.
Dang.
Something like that. It's obscene. Because they started the season 2-2, and then they lost 16 straight. Like, it's absolutely brutal what they have done. But, like, you're not catching them. And you're probably not catching the Pelicans.
No, but the reality is that, well, last year was actually the outlier in that a team jumped as far as the Hawks did. But you've had, I think, the number two team with the second best odds has won it.
That's the one that the most likely to win it, according to the odds.
I think they won it every other year except for last year, right?
No, it's...
Or the team had a fourth... The
7th, 4th, and 10th, and the rest have been the 2nd.
Dang.
Since 2019.
Since the smoothing of the odds.
So you basically... It's like a 60-40 chance. If you're in the top three, if you're outside, like... Which, again, is like... As much as everybody's like... You know, if you live and die with every win or loss, it's like, guys, you just got to wait the lottery. Like, yeah, you want to improve your odds, but...
It's a crapshoot.
It's because of the flattening of the odds. Now, if this was the old lottery, I would say go full Philly process.
But there is something to... You don't want to be 7th because the drop from, like, 6 to 7...
It's pretty precipitous.
In percentage odds of jumping up, it is big.
It's detrimental. It is. So... Right. All right, coming up next, it's time for our worst day on the web, and this one is a Dusty submitted special.
Oh, it is?
It has to do with a man, his unit, and a bird.
Oh, wait, what? I submitted this?
You did in the text message. It is sports adjacent. Oh no!
I am remembering this now.
Yes.
This is why I should not text you.
This is definitely why you should not text me. But first, it's Big Will Betts with a Sports Center update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Be careful what you send to me, Dusty, because it might end up on the show. It's a real thing.
Uh-huh.
Juan Bernabe, the handler of both the Eagles and the Falcons for the Seahawks and the Lazio soccer team has...
Wait, what?
Yeah, the handler. The bird handler.
For the Seattle Seahawks?
Was it the Seahawks?
I don't know.
I think it was. I could be wrong.
Seems like those are two very, 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 maybe very far apart
maybe
teams.
Maybe he's appeared there?
I don't know.
Or maybe, oh, no, they mentioned the bird handler for the Seahawks. My mistake. So let's just go with Lazio, because that's actually who this guy is for.
What is Lazio, by the way?
A soccer team in Italy.
Okay.
He had an implant done. Singular.
Yeah.
A penile implant. of what she shared on social media.
Yeah, he showed the photos, man.
Not just full Monty, but like with gusto.
Yeah, the bits and pieces. And he put these on internet because of the fact that apparently he had a an injury
where he lost a testicular.
Yeah, he's a former former player too, mm-hmm. right? And now he is the handler of the eagle for the soccer team, and he showed these pictures over the weekend, and then they rolled him out there on Monday, like, hey, here he is. He's gonna be right here with our eagle, right here on the pitch. And he did an interview where he just gushes over the owner. Like, it gets weirder and weirder as this Twitter thread that I sent you moved on, because it talked about how he just basically put all his pictures out on the internet for everybody to see. And look, Europe, they're far more loose and free with their bodies. But then you hear some of the quotes, because they asked him about it, because they're like, hey, this is the first time we've seen you since, I don't know, we saw your bits and pieces on the internet. And so they started asking him about the team president, and like, what did he say about you putting everything all out on, mm-hmm. on the internet? Because usually, I don't know, your boss not going to be happy if you're a recognizable face and personality of your franchise.
But also, it's Italy.
He said, he's also a man. The surgery doesn't make me a porn star. I just had a health problem. He goes, he understood.
Look,
the owner of the team, he understood this. Like,
standards for your nudity in Europe are a lot lower.
He said, I've had two kids, but now I can control how long I go. So the team president, he totally understood why I put these pictures out on the internet. This is a non-factor here. What?
All I could think of when I first saw this,
I love that he's doing interviews.
Was the speaking of doing interviews with that? You ever seen Basketball?
Yeah,
that's all I could think of was Basketball and Yasmin Bleeth.
Boy,
that scene.
It has been so long. I don't remember really any of it except for Al Michaels being on it.
You don't remember the scene where they have the world's longest in the locker room and she can't say anything about it?
I honestly don't remember. It is
like a bird like lands.
It's been like 20 years.
Yeah,
it's been 20 years.
A bird just kind of lands.
All right,
and on a perch, as it were.
I mean, he's talking about like basically what he had put in there is like he's got like this button that he can push that keeps him going.
Yeah,
and he can control when he turns it off.
So it's a robo
queen? Basically. Yeah, that's what this guy had put in, and he put the pictures out on the internet and then just went right back to work like nothing happened. And apparently that was totally cool with this soccer club. They're like, yeah, welcome back, man. We're really happy for you right now.
Like I said, it's
good luck to you.
It's a different world.
I would say so.
It's a different world.
Yeah. Which is not really the worst day on the web. It's kind of the best day on the web.
I mean,
for
him, it's certainly an improvement. I mean, if we wanted to go to the other side of this, there's actually a local story about a guy who went to OHSU and had his face catch fire.
At OHSU?
Mm-hmm. He's suing the hospital for $900,000. He had a...
What did he go there in the first place for?
He was having a squamous cell carcinoma, which is a cancer of the tongue.
Yeah.
And he checked in for a tracheostomy, which is to have a breathing tube put mm-hmm. in. And part of that process involved his face being swapped with isopropyl alcohol. But when the alcohol wasn't given enough time to dry, his face caught on fire when it came in contact with the surgical tool that emitted a spark.
What?
So...
Dude.
Yeah, the guy ended up dying not from the face being on fire, but from the cancer in his tongue in 2023.
So now the family's just suing?
Yeah.
They should probably win that.
Yeah, the lawsuit was filed in 2024, suffered greatly and lived with disfiguring scars and other traumatic wounds to his face that never fully healed before he died. So not only is your tongue a cancerous blob, but your face is mangled.
That sucks, dude.
Yeah.
I'm anti that.
I like the best day on the web way better than that one.
Is it the best day on the web?
I mean.
Like, do we know that he's gotten success from that? Because there's only one reason to put out that photo.
Dude, this guy, if,
and release the special features.
If you're reading this guy's comments,
you should definitely go use your work computer and go look up the tweet.
It's the best thing. It's the best thing that's ever happened to this guy.
Well, but again, like, is it just randos on the internet, or is there like a?
These are direct quotes. Wait, that are operating on him? No, these are direct quotes from the dude.
No. I'm talking like if you're
around the bush here.
If you're gonna have this procedure done, yeah. Nice. I think that it's only successful if you're getting hit up by certain celebrities.
He's married. You know,
I stand by what I said.
And he's a different cat. And this soccer club feels like they're a little off with most of their handlings of things. He said, I did it to be as fit as when I was young.
What?
Yep. And he says he feels as young now. But there's one of the tweets that accompanies the story says, this wasn't the first time Burnaby has landed in controversy. In 2021, Lazio suspended him for cheering the Italian dictator Benito Mussolini and performing the fascist salute.
Yeah, I'm anti this guy.
I don't like this guy.
Here's the worst part Mussolini?
On the web. Yeah, here's the worst part on the web right there.
Yeah, it's like, have you ever seen any of those terrible videos when like a German guy's at the gym,
you know,
and they go to do like shoulder raises and like, oh, nope, can't do that.
You know who this guy looks like?
Who?
Dana White.
Oh, shocker.
That's a good call.
Looks like Dana White supports Mussolini. I'm shocked by that.
Like, I mean.
No, you're right. He's a dead ringer.
Like, it is a dead ringer for this guy. All right.
Ruining it for all of us bald men.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. This is a bad day on the web
for
me. My
God, the side profile is like, yeah, it's Dana White.
He looks like Dana White.
This is a bad day on the web for me.
Who loves Eagles.
And Suk and all other bald men. It's giving us a bad name.
Well, I think you guys do a good enough job of that, too.
Incorrect, sir.
I will say there's
I'm an upstanding citizen.
There's pictures of him with hair, and he looks completely different.
Yeah, right?
It's kind of weird.
So does Will Ortner. You see Will Ortner's pictures back when he had like a permed flow?
It wasn't permed. I braided it.
Why are they using our bird?
I don't know. It is a bald eagle.
It's a bald eagle. Yeah. That's our bird.
Will Ortner had long hair that went down like your shoulders.
Past your shoulder blades.
Yeah.
I'm getting there.
And it was... No, you're not even close to what he had.
It was long.
Not even
You got another two
close.
Years.
Yeah. You're not... You really are
and
not.
And then you got to learn how to braid close. It.
But it was...
How dare you not think I could do that?
It was also trending towards a skullet on Will as it was going on. Like it,
and not gracious. Due to a bad haircut.
It was racing away from the top of your head and right on down your back.
Like, yeah, it was time. Thing.
But you came home, and that's an important thing, dude. I'm proud of you.
I made the right decision to go bald.
And you did it young, man.
Land the ship.
Had to. I glue up.
If we got you hair restoration clinic.
No.
Are you sure?
I don't think I what's the game? Well, there's a lot of issues here for me.
I don't know.
Am I going to follow
that sick flow that you had before?
No, but here's the thing. Am I going to follow through on it? Like, with most of those, you have to like every day you got to put, you know, the stuff on and you got to follow through. That doesn't sound like something I'll do. I'll do it like Monday and Wednesday.
Well, if you don't, it like falls out. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, how are you an adult if you can't even do that?
Exactly. No, that doesn't.
Exactly. Exactly. How are you an adult? No.
I shave my mind.
That assumption.
I just want to be bald. If I could, I'd get rid of my hair tomorrow.
Well, you did. You shaved it.
No, but it still grows. I mean, like,
you should go do like the go do the opposite.
We're gonna go opposite.
Go laser hair removal on your head.
If hair restoration wants to do that for me, I'd love it.
I'd be down.
Just never have to shave it. Just be perfectly shorn all the time.
100%.
Wow. All right.
And if they could do that with my back, that would be awesome too.
Well, they can. It's just you need multiple sessions.
I'd also need money.
Yeah. All right.
We should nair your back.
It's been done before.
I don't think we should, but you can. I'm going to take the we out of it. You guys can go and do whatever you want with his back hair.
I said Nair, but
I'm going to be on the outside.
It sounds to me like you two have asked me to do this.
I'm going
to
be as far away from that as possible.
I said Nair, I want you to go like full 40-year-old virgin and go get the wax job.
If you want to pay for it, I'll do it.
Oh.
If that, others are willing,
that might, you just got your back waxed.
That might be worth it.
Wow.
Or an arrow on the chest.
Oh, buddy. You know it bleeds, right?
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I don't have an issue with that.
That's not just like a thing from 40-year-old version where it's like he's like bleeding through his shirt on the way home because it's a joke. Like, it's a real thing.
Whatever gets me clean.
All right. I don't even know where to go with that. So with that, you know what? Let's dive a little bit into the transfer portal for the Oregon Ducks, and then dive into the actual transfer portal as it pertains to college football. Coming up next on Dan and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
The Oregon Ducks have been busy in the transfer portal. They've plucked quite a few guys out over the last couple weeks, but more recently, USC's Emmanuel Pregnon is now heading to Eugene, the big interior offensive lineman who surprisingly entered the portal last week. Oregon has stepped up and grabbed him, so that's two from USC in Pregnon and Bear Alexander.
And this is, again, bolstering the interior of the offensive line. I mean, when you are missing, and think of the transition that Oregon is having on their O-line, right? Gone from this past year's team are Josh Connerly, Johnny Cornelius, Marcus Harper, Nishad Strother. Coming back next year, guys that played significant roles are Poncha Laulu, you bring your center back, Kavika Rogers, and Dave Iuli, who both kind of took over that right guard position in rotating in with Marcus Harper after his injury. So you bring three back. You go into the transfer portal and you get Isaiah World, the number one left tackle. Was it Alex Hankey or Harkey, the right tackle from Texas State? Mm-hmm. They've been trying to rebuild and just kind of retool that thing on the fly because they have recruited and developed guys on that old line that they're going to be expecting significant snaps from, whether it is, you know, Matthew Bedford, who came in from Indiana out of the transfer portal, was injured this year and unable to play. Janoris Wilson, who we saw catch a two-point conversion at one point this year, but didn't really get significant snaps. George Silva, another monster that they can rely on the outside. Oregon is trying to build depth. If you look at where their O-line was at heading into this week, it was like eight guys that they would feel comfortable with rolling in there in a rotation. You add a ninth in there, and all of a sudden this offensive line is starting to make a heck of a lot more sense. And when you add a top target in the transfer portal, I think he's the 11th overall rated target to enter the portal this entire season, an interior offensive lineman who hasn't allowed a sack in over a year. I think he went over 1,300 snaps without a sack.
He's been very good for USC.
He is.
The one thing for USC, I would say, on their offensive line in the last 2 years that has been consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where what Oregon has been doing via the portal has been really dang good. And it's filling holes and filling gaps where they need them the most. And you do it through not just the portal, you do it through traditional recruiting as well. And this is where it goes to, you take your traditional recruiting rankings and you take your portal rankings. Oregon has done a phenomenal job so far. I think this pushes them up to ninth nationally in transfer portal rankings. They had the number five recruiting class. And when you add three high-caliber offensive linemen, Makai Hughes, a running back out of Tulane, you bolster your secondary with Dylan Thieneman and Theron Johnson, the transfers from Purdue and Northwestern, respectively. This is where you're starting to see a lot of it come together. Jamari Johnson, the Louisville tight end, they've gone and they've filled positions of need, and that's exactly what you want to do. You just don't want to go and try to rebuild your roster through the portal. Ideally, as your recruiting classes come through, you rely on the portal less and less. And right now, Oregon's at 9. I think last year they brought in either 14 or 16 mm-hmm. guys from the portal. This is kind of what you want to see if you're Oregon. I don't think they're done yet in the portal, but right now they sit at 9, and they're 9 high-caliber players.
Yeah, you mean you take a look around college football right now. Let's see. USC is at 9. Oregon is at 9. I'm trying to check the other Big Ten teams. I think Ohio State is also at 9 or 10. Michigan State is at 16. Like, it's becoming very common.
Those are programs that need to take on guys. And, like, if USC, they need to start taking more guys on out of the portal because of the defections in the positions of need that they had those defections from. Think of how many guys, you got to look at it as how many are coming in and how many are going out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And where the skill level is. There was some surprises of guys leaving via the transfer portal for USC as well. And, you know, that's where you're probably going to have to lean on taking more guys in. If you're in the middle of a rebuild, you absolutely need to do it. If you lose guys to attrition, you 100% have to do it. Or if you're not as good of a recruiter, then you're going to have to take on guys through the portal right now. I mean, what's incredible is that Ole Miss is doing it again. They have 21 guys.
Lane's pretty good at that.
He's the portal king. I mean, Dion wanted to claim it.
He's the opposite of Dabo.
But he had 26 guys out of the portal last year. He's got 21 this year. Back in 2023, I think he had another massive portal class as well, where, yeah, he brought in 23. So he basically turns over his starting 11 on both sides every year through the portal.
And it's pretty crazy. It's not like he's...
They're good.
He's not just, you know... he's not agnostic to where he goes and gets them. Like, yeah, he's got a couple guys from Arkansas in here, and yeah, he's got LSU and Georgia, but he's also got Chattanooga, he's got UAB, he's got Oklahoma State, Marshall, Wake Forest, Louisville, West Virginia, Washington State, Akron. Like, the man goes just everywhere.
I think another thing to kind of look at in this, and like recruiting rankings can. They can be whatever, right? A lot of it is, all right, how many guys do you just pull in? And we know how often the recruiting rankings can just be flat out wrong, too, in misevaluating guys. But if you look at where Oregon in their class this past year, the high school recruiting, they had 20 commits. That's a relatively small class, right? Ranked 5th overall nationally. But if you look at average rating per recruit, number 1 in the country. This transfer portal class, they are 9th. 9 guys coming in through the portal. Not a lot of guys, right? Currently, they have the highest average rating per commit in the country again. So it is the evaluation of talent. You're going to be more selective when you have a roster that you feel is more ready to go. The biggest thing with Oregon moving forward, though, is that quarterback position. And then it is that trickle down to the wide receiver position, because those... In all of these spots, they've gone and they've plugged a bunch of holes in the offensive line, right, with high-level players.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receiver is going to be dependent on development of some guys that you have there. Replacing Tez Johnson, we saw the importance of Tez. Replacing Trayshon Holden, those are big shoes to fill. Evan Stewart coming back was huge for Oregon. But quarterback in the development of Dante Moore
mm-hmm.
and Austin Novosad in that quarterback room moving forward, that's going to be where the success of this Oregon team is.
It's going to be really interesting just going to see is the college football playoff and the new idea of the transfer portal, which was sneered at 2 years ago, is now being fully grasped by all the programs around the country, and how each is going to kind of one feed into the other. Coming up next, we will talk about that transfer portal and how there might be some changes coming up to here in hour number 3 on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.